Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is the ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study on prayer, we were taught that even though a man might have an excellent knowledge of the Bible, he might not know how to pray. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Fourthly, we see some things happen only as a result of prayer, as Jesus told his disciples when they could not cast out a legion of devils. He said, "This kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting." Now, fasting is abstaining from food and normal activities and entertainment to give ourselves wholly and completely to prayer. Many times the idea of fasting is just to abstain from food. But it's not just from food, it's normal activities, the entertainments that we might give ourselves. Now understand, give ourselves to prayer. But now, this is not what is covered in Luke chapter 11. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, John's disciples were taught to pray by John as well, and so they point that out. Now, I remember years ago as a young person hearing a Christian college educated man who was also prolific in teaching on Bible prophecy. He made this statement: "The evangelist asked us to pray 5 minutes a day for the meeting." And he said, "If you will volunteer, please raise your hand." He says, "I raised my hand to promise I would." He said, "After I started, I realized it was really hard to pray for 5 whole minutes on only one subject." Well, obviously, there was much, although a good Bible education, this man did not understand. There are people who pray in our prayer room while I'm preaching on Sunday morning. Now, I believe that that is vital. It is very vital. As a matter of fact, I instituted that myself here at our church. But you may ask the question, how do they pray for the entire time? Well, they should pray in agreement. That is when I say, well, we need to witness more. We need to pray more. We need to study our Bibles. We need to be kind. We need to love the brethren. And on down the list we can go about the various things that we should be doing as Christians. And that person is in the prayer room praying, whether it's silently or aloud, saying, "Yes, Lord, if there's someone out there that is not kind, if there's someone out there that's not praying, may this really speak to their heart and challenge them to pray, challenge them to witness, challenge them to whatever it is." I may say, "Well, we need to stop this sin or that sin. We need to stop being unkind. We need to stop being gossips. We need to stop having critical spirits and all that." And they're praying, "Oh, yes, Lord, if there's someone out there with that critical spirit, may they stop." And so what they're doing, they're praying about if somebody has a problem with the sin of omission or commission, they're just backing up what I'm saying in prayer. And they're asking God to convict people that they may get these things right in their life. And so they're praying that. They're asking for God's power on me. They may pray for the people to understand clearly what the Lord is trying to say to them through the sermon, and to even give them more understanding than what the preacher is able to speak. Years ago, a man came up to me in our parking lot. He said, "Your preaching made me sick. I could not stand to hear you preach. I told a close friend in the church about it, and he said, 'Why don't you pray about it and ask God to help you receive it?' Then the man said to me, "Well, I still hate your preaching, but I'm getting to the point where I can listen without being totally repulsed." I said to him, "Well, praise the Lord. That is my prayer, that God would use his word through my lips to speak to your heart." Well, he turned away and was soon out of our church, and he joined a contemporary church where he didn't have to put up with standards and Bible preaching. So how are we to pray? How can we pray for such things and pray for an hour as Jesus did? Well, that's the purpose of this series on Teach Us to Pray. But there's another purpose involved in beyond just teaching us to pray, and that is to not quit. Not quit. Don't give up in prayer. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 1 that we read earlier, Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, at times things go wrong. Maybe it's life-altering wrong. And we get discouraged. A man is tempted to say, "I've been faithful to God all these years. Why has he allowed this to happen to me?" We go for a while, but it's as if none of our prayers are answered. Well, that makes me think of Job. In Job 23, verses 8 and 9, he says, "Behold, I go forward, and he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him." So it seemed no matter to Job, no matter which way he looked, God wasn't hearing him. God wasn't listening to him. Now, have you ever felt as if prayer is a waste of time? It was only a sentimental time in which you were merely speaking into the air. Well, that's the way Job felt. But then the next verse, verse 10 there of Job 23, says this, "But he knoweth the way that I take. And when I am tried, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Deep in the inner man, Job knew that God was aware of everything. He knew the word, and he knew that he was doing right, so he knew to not faint, not to give up on prayer, don't quit in the way of holiness and righteousness. He knew the goodness of God. He knew God would reward it one day. He needed only to remain faithful in prayer. Now, we must realize that the local church loses the battle without prayer, and particularly without prayer warriors who will not quit. Prayer warriors who fight the good fight of faith and don't give up when it seems the opposite of our request are happening. So the first step to God is prayer. The Holy Spirit prays for us as well. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 makes the following statement. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered." Jesus clearly never quit. And we are thankful for that. I'm saved because he didn't quit. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says, "Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost." Someone has said, he's able to save the guttermost to the uttermost. And that is true. Well, Hebrews 7:25 says, "Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." This is what Jesus lives for. It seems as if God the Father begs us to pray in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 through 14. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord." And let me add to that, the Lord who cannot lie. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 2 and 3, we see this thought even further, where he says, "Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." As I said, it almost seems like he's just begging us to pray. Two verses come to mind in regard to praying, particularly as it pertains to the local church. Now, we pointed out in Acts 2, the church had been praying together when the Holy Spirit manifested himself through them, and 3,000 were saved. There are other actions taking place about the Bible that when men prayed, God reacted. Now, in a day when iniquity abounds, when preachers who once preached the Bible standards and separation from the world and were not willing to turn to the flesh to accomplish the work of the Lord, but are now compromising. Jeremiah 17:5 says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and that maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." And they make flesh the arm to accomplish the work, thinking that they must come off as one of them, that is, of one of the world, instead of wanting them to become like Christ, because we are modeling Christ. As Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16 states, "Wherefore, I also, after that, heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Oh, look, he prayed for them continually. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks,
saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.